Welcome to Abbotsford Anglican Church, St Andrews. My name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the Senior Minister here. If you're listening in today to our service, a very special welcome to you. We pray that you may be encouraged as we hear God's word read and preached and is reminded on how good our God is to us. The service this morning begins with an opening prayer, a sentence of Scripture, the reading of Scripture, a sermon, time of prayer and a time of praise. The Lord be with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us together this afternoon or whenever we're listening in to hear you speak to us through your word. We thank you, Father, for the wonderful privilege it is to be known by you, to come aside out of the busyness of a day and to hear you speak to us and encourage us, warn us, or equip us. We ask that what we do now, Father, will be pleasing in your sight. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, indeed, welcome. I don't know what your week has been like. It may have been a very busy week. It may have been a very uneventful week. But this is a time where we can draw near and think on the things of God and hear from his word and let him speak to us. An opening prayer of praise to our God. Gracious God, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given, for life and health and safety, for power to work, leisure and rest, and for all that is beautiful in creation and in human life. But above all, we praise you for our Saviour Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for the gift of your Spirit, and for the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God speaks to us through his word, the Bible, as the Holy Spirit that he's given to us guides us. This prayer encourages us to think on him guiding us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for inspiring all scripture by your Holy Spirit. Help us by your Spirit to hear your holy word, that we may be equipped for every good work through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue our Bible teaching time today here at Abbotsford Anglican through Romans, and the sermon series title has been God's revelation of himself in revealing his righteousness to us. And today's sermon is titled, But I'm a Good Person. And the question is, are we really? Let's listen into Romans chapter 3, verses 1 through to 31. Paul continues to reveal the gospel. What advantage then is there in being a Jew? Or of what value is there in circumcision? Much in every way. First of all, the Jews have been entrusted with the very words of God. What if some were unfaithful? Will their unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? Not at all. Let God be true and every human being a liar, as it is written, so that you may be proved right when you speak and prevail when you judge. But if our unrighteousness brings out God's righteousness more clearly, what shall we say? That God is unjust in bringing his wrath on us? I'm using a human argument. Certainly not. If that was so, how could God judge the world? But someone might argue, if my falsehood enhances God's truthfulness and so increases his glory, why am I still condemned as a sinner? Why not say, as some slanderously claim that we say, let us do evil that good may result? Their condemnation is just. What shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? Not at all. We have already made the charge. The Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. The throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin, misery mark their ways. And the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are all justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so that to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It's excluded because of the law. The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too, since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, open up your Bibles, if you keep them open there, at Romans chapter 3, verses 1 to 31. And as I mentioned earlier on in the service, this is a continuation of our Bible teaching time through Romans on the series The Righteousness of God Revealed. And today we're thinking on the passage that's before us, Romans chapter 3, verses 1 to 31. And the title for the sermon is, I'm a good person, but are we really? Are we really? Well, the verdict has come down. The verdict has been delivered. Guilty. No one is righteous in God's sight, we read. Not even one. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Like prisoners on death's row, we were guilty, condemned, and awaiting the execution of God's wrath. Powerless, we sat silently in the miserable darkness of our soul cell, all hope extinguished. That's how one person has described how they felt having read the first three chapters of Romans, as we have. And that may be how you're feeling right now yourselves. Trevor, when are we going to get to the good news? Well, let me reassure you. Today we come to a turning point. But what we were before God is the truth. And we take it that that has been the Apostle Paul's reasoning in explaining the gospel, the revealing of the righteousness of God as he is doing, the making known of how we have been made right with God to his readers. We can't appreciate the good news of the gospel until we first hear and accept the reality of the bad news. No one is righteous in God's sight. Not even one. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I'm a good person, you say. Are we really? Are we really good enough? Though we've been entrusted with the very words of God that we read there in verse 2, like the Jews have, in those words of God, they are the same words that condemn us, verse 20. Yes, like prisoners on death's row, the way of the word is to remind us what we really are, what we really were, and of the power of sin. Guilty, condemned, sinners, no better than anyone else, and without excuse, accountable to God, awaiting his judgment, deserving the execution of God's wrath upon us, all hope extinguished, stuck in the mud of our sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one, we read. Now you might be thinking that this is some message out there to the world, not to me, a Christian, or to the church, but we forget that Paul is actually writing to Christians. He's writing to Christians who have both a Jewish and a non-Jewish background, but he's writing to Christians, and we are very much included in his message. We are included. And when he's saying all have sinned, it's not all of them out there that are not the church. It's all of us. Every single human being, young and old, have fallen short of the glory of God. There is no one who is righteous. There's the bad news. Now that the bad news has been revealed and heard, and the stark reality of it, I hope, has sunk in, we are in a position to hear of the power of God over the power of sin. To hear the good news of the gospel, appreciate it, and receive it. Look there at verse 25. God has presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. For all have sinned, verse 23 and 24, and all have fallen short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Here is the good news, my friend. Let it sink in. God has intervened. God has chosen to intervene and to save us from his wrath. The one, the only one, who could and justly and mercifully choose to do so, has. God has made us at one with him through the shedding of his own Son, the Christ's blood, to be received as a gift simply by faith, accepting it to be true. Irrespective of how we might feel or not, the Christian is now justified before God, just if I'd never sinned. Not because of anything we've done, but what Christ has done for us. Oh, these verses from Romans before us today I am without a doubt, is a message of the utmost and profound importance for all. What's explained here is so crucial in every sense that if we misunderstand this passage, we misunderstand the gospel, we misunderstand how we are right with God. We will go away thinking it's what we've done, what we do or don't do that's made us right with God, and not what God has done. Up to now, Paul has been at pains to point out ever so bluntly that there is no self-righteousness in the gospel. But sadly, that is what the world believes our message is. Our goodness makes us right with God. The church is good people. Their goodness makes them right with God. I could never be like them. And if some of you are still believing this, come back with me. Come back with me for a moment and just re-remember, let yourself remember, feel the hopelessness of what it was to deserve the execution of God's wrath that you deserved. Feel the power of sin that has captured you and carried you away. And feel the power of God, know the power of God that has rescued you and saved you. Paul explains it really well in another part of his letters, his letter to the church in Ephesus, chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Let me read it to you, or if you want to open up your Bibles to the reading, you can find it there. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Just ponder on that little verse for a moment there. Can dead things bring themselves back to life again? They can't. It needs the intervention of someone else to miraculously bring that person who has died or that thing to died back to life again. Paul bluntly reminds us, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following the desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But, I love the buts in the Bible, but because of his great love for us, verse 4, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgression. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has already prepared in advance for us to do. Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, the door to our cell has swung open, and our darkness has been filled with light. A voice has declared to us, you are pardoned. You are to live. You are forgiven and free. The day of God's wrath has come for you, and it has fallen on someone else. And we ask, who? Who could that be? How? Why? Verse 25. God has presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. For all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Here is the good news. And what good news it is. And its message is this: God has presented Christ as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. The wrath of God has fallen on him at the cross. And we have been clothed now in his robes of righteousness. His robes for ours. And now to see ourselves seated beside him in the heavenly realms. God now sees us, the saved, as looking upon his own Son, Jesus Christ. God did this. Why? Verses 25 and 26. To demonstrate, to reveal, to make known, not hide, but to reveal to all the righteousness of God, the way God has made people right with himself. Not by us, not by him. It is done. It is completed. In the words of our Lord himself on the cross, it is finished. Let me pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom you sent to be your atoning sacrifice for our sin, grant that we may meet you at the cross, and having faith in your work alone, find our sin pardoned, our guilt removed, and ourselves always fully forgiven and right with you. We ask this through your Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible tells us not to hide our sins from God, our Heavenly Father, but to confess them with a repentant and obedient heart, so that we may be forgiven through his boundless goodness and mercy. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us come to the throne of our gracious God with a true heart in full assurance of faith and pray together. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. Almighty God and loving Father, we rejoice that you pardon and forgive those who truly repent and sincerely believe your holy gospel. Grant us true repentance and your Holy Spirit, that we may live godly, righteous, and holy lives, and finally come to your eternal glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Join with me in the prayer that Jesus taught his own disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Lord God, you know us to be set in the midst of so many great dangers, that by reason of the frailty of our own nature, we cannot always stand upright. Grant us such strength and protection as may support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations and hardships. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Sovereign Lord, you know all things, and through all circumstances of life, you accompany your people. Prosper the work of those who are seeking a vaccine for the coronavirus. Protect and strengthen those who are treating the sick. Comfort the sick and those who mourn the loss of loved ones or are living in fear of this disease. Give to the governing authorities wisdom in their management of this crisis, and grant to your people patience, compliance, and peace. Generous and wise hearts, and a renewed trust in your sovereign goodness and glory. Turn the hearts of many experiencing fear and anxiety to you, O Lord, that they may find that peace which only you can give, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, if you're a member of Abbotsford Anglican Church, you would have received on Friday the bulletin and the news in that, and I draw your attention to that to be able to read and to find out what's going on in the life of Abbotsford Anglican Church. You can also go onto our website and see what's happening in our church life here. So let's stand and say together what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed, through the response to my questions. Do you believe in God the Father? We believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in God the Son? We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Join with me in this final prayer together. Eternal God and Father, by whose power we are created and by whose love we are redeemed, guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may give ourselves to your service and live this week in love to one another and to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.
For more.